Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I'm here with producer Vin. How are you doing, Vin?
All right, mate. Hello.
It's been another lively week, hasn't it?
It has been. There's been a lot of admin this week.
Yeah, loads of admin. I felt for you this week because I keep seeing documents being handed to you. I think, poor Vin and those documents.
Yeah.
Don't want them.
Let's keep it work-related, mate.
Too right. It's been a good week, though. We had Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age on with Mikey Shoes, as he's known, the bass player in the band. And also, we had a lovely chat with Guy Garvey from Elbow. That's all on the Evening Show podcast. Plus, classic albums on Monday night. We had a little delve back into the Charlatans telling stories from 1997, which took me right back to passing my driving test and going out driving around boring girls with my choice of music.
you've educated me, though. I didn't know that album very well.
Yeah, it was a good album, actually.
I think of the Charlatans as being all sort of like wavy and, you know, like synths and stuff. But actually, there's a lot of sort of Primal Scream.
Yeah, the Hammond organ. That was when they were proper indie lads. And also, Tim Burgess was a completely different character then. He was much more of the Liam Gallagher ilk than of the Cribs.
Wow.
I'd say. He did make a passage through to Scarecrow.
He's got that, he's got that Cage the Elephant haircut now.
Yeah, it's got. It looks like a kind of bird's nest, doesn't it? It's gone horribly
wrong.
I'm
a fan, I like it.
Yeah, no, he's a good character. And it was good looking back at that album. And it reminded me as well, right? I was on £2 an hour working in a hotel at the time. Ooh. And I think it used to cost 60p for a litre of fuel. That'll shock people who are listening right now. It makes me feel old as well. I hope you enjoy the Evening Show podcast. Thanks for downloading.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was The Killers, The Man on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. And I'm very excited about the guests that have just walked into the studio looking like genuine bona fide rock and roll lords that they are. One of the most popular and best rock and roll bands in the world right now. Queens of the Stone Age, Mikey the Shoe Shoeman and Josh Homme. How are you doing, gentlemen?
For a minute, I thought you were talking about someone else. I was like, oh, it's The Killers, man. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Josh, I noticed when you came in there, you've got a walking stick with you. This is yet another injury that you've picked up on your travels. A torn meniscus of the knee, I believe, is the latest.
Yeah. But you know, it's getting better, and I'm not much for complaining. So, and I'm fine now.
Good.
I got a cane. If anyone tries to mug me, I can tell them no.
It's quite a nice cane, that, actually, isn't it? Is that something you've had commissioned?
Yes, the Royal Architects were. Now, I found this in Amsterdam. Frankly, it's a self-defense cane. If you're mugged, the end is heavy so that you can tap them on the shoulder properly and it makes a bing sound.
A lovely noise as a man hits the ground unconscious. Yeah. Josh says he hasn't been complaining, but Mikey, can you just confirm that? Has he been complaining?
Okay. That seemed really confusing.
Yeah, good.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
Violence. You mentioned knocking people out with that stick.
No. I didn't say that at all. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a dancing machine, and you've never been hugged by me, but it's quite nice and warm.
Yes.
And I think it's the safety that people enjoy.
It's one of the favourite things I do with my friends late in the evening when it gets to that point when you can't really talk anymore. We like to put on YouTube footage of Josh Homme on stage calling people out. Because you've got your really good
hours
at it.
Of fun.
It's good, isn't it? It's really good. And they're quite varied over the years as well.
Well, I mean, the thing is this, is from the name of the band, I think it's perhaps a bit misleading, you know. Just from the name of the band, Queens of the Stone Age, on that. The idea is to keep people open-minded. If you're a racist, homophobic, misogynist bully, then I'll probably find you, you know?
Yeah.
Because one thing I know for sure is I know almost nothing at all. So I've always had a quiet, like, comfort in that, you know? But I want our people to be open-minded. I think that's probably why we chose Ronson.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have a dance video. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't keep an open mind, you can't come, you know? Because there should be a place where open-minded people can drink and dance and commiserate and figure it out.
Particularly in the world we live in right now, where, particularly in America as well, it seems to be not the friendliest place in the world, it seems, from afar, watching it from the UK.
It's like a ding-dong factory.
Yeah.
All I hear is ding-dong, ding-dong.
So, gentlemen, tonight, it's a massive night. Midnight, the new album, Villains, comes out. What's that experience like after 7 albums when you hand something over to other people? Do you still get a bit of butterflies in the stomach, or is it just super confidence?
I don't even think. I think we just went, you know, we go make a record for ourselves. And in that time, we just just make sure that we all come out high-fiving each other. And then for me, it's like, it's for everyone else after that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit like slapping the baby. It wakes up and cries and you hand it to someone else.
And that's it. Hand it over after that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as Mikey was saying, the reason to make them, and frankly, in secret, is that you're forced to make them just for each other and to turn frowns upside down and things of that nature. And that way, when you're done, you're done because you've done the best you can and you can let it go.
Yeah.
And someone can use it as a coaster and someone else can use it as a way out, you know, and a way to soundtrack their life, you know?
Yeah, beautifully summed up. Right, more from Queens of the Stone Age in just a second. We're going to play a bit of the band now. This is Go With The Flow on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Queens of the Stone Age, Go With The Flow on Radio X. This is the Thursday night evening show. Josh Homme and Mikey the Shoes are still with us in the studio. Now, gents, I want to talk about the album sleeve for Villains, because it's something that means an awful lot to me. My generation, I think, growing up, holding on to the vinyl and just looking at the artwork on albums is such a magical thing. You know, I think back to being handed Average White Band and Roxy Music and looking at all those things when I was
a kid. Oh, wait, when you said Average White Band, I thought you were talking about us.
No.
I'm a little bit out of, I've had a few drinks before.
Is it still so important to you to have really good artwork on the sleeve? Is it something you spend a lot of time on? And is there quite a big debate about what eventually makes that cover?
I'd like to pass it to Mike. He had a really good explanation of us working with this cat Boneface that's from here, from Liverpool. But first, I'd like to say, and I'll even do the voice, if that's all right with you. Someone said to me, the art's only like 1 inch by 1 inch, so who cares?
No.
And I said, Dad, listen. Okay, now, Mike, will you talk about Boneface?
I can't remember the explanation I had.
Well, what's it, about him, how people slapdash or...
Yeah, I think nowadays it's like actually a lot of days, back in the days, you know, you make a record and then you kind of just like, yeah, slap some kind of image. To kind of represent the record, and it could be arbitrary. You could try to think of it. You could, you know, but for us, it's and even on like Clockwork, we brought Boneface in. He was with us every day in the studio, and it was, you know, kind of feeding off each other, and it's a big piece of the record, of both records.
In fact, you know, I guess in nowadays terms, it's like this is this expanded edition of vinyl. But to me, that's the version. Mm-hmm. There's art for every song. And I used to like, I listened to GBH and Discharge and the Subhumans are from England and Misfits and all this stuff, Black Flag. I'd take the lyric sheets and put them on my wall like wallpaper.
Same question for both of you. What's the first bit of artwork you remember when you were younger? The first bit of vinyl?
I have a Cramps shirt on now. And, the Cramps have a record called Off the Bone. And it was a 3D cover. And you're supposed to get glasses. But at the time I was so young, I was like, what's 3D? You know, because then I realized we're living in 3D.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I got glasses after about a year at a movie theater and went home and looked at the record and was like, oh, you know.
Superb. But what about you, Mikey?
I think Green Day Dookie actually was like, for me, that was like...
Was that 94, I think? Something
yeah, 93,
like,
yeah. 94. So I was like 8 or 9 years old and just like seeing that. I mean, it's a mess really, that cover, but yeah.
It's life crazy,
yeah. Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've got to ask you, Josh and Mikey, about the most famous person you've been at a urinal beside. I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, and the whole idea is that I once had a pee beside Sean Connery, right? And I'd love to know who the most famous person Sean Connery had a pee beside, and we'd like to carry that on. So, you have a
Were you able to ask Sean?
Not yet.
He seems like someone that would be really interested to answer that question.
Yes, he would love a
high-bit
question.
Might be a tough one, right?
He said to me, because I said hello, and he said, now's not really the time, is it, son? Which I was pleased with.
Well, how can you beat that?
It was great. But we had the Killers on the other day, and they were telling us.
Is that because he was taking a leak?
Yes.
And you were looking at his money bag? Oh,
that is absolutely correct, yeah. Walter PPK in his hand.
Yes, Walter PPK.
The Killers said that they walked in, Ronnie Vannucci, the drummer from the Killers, walked in, and Shaquille O'Neal was at the only other urinal, and he thought, oh, that's pressure. And he just said, he looked at him and said,
nice watch. You've been an answer already. Biffy Clyro, Jim Johnson, said it was a very intimidating moment, and he said that Josh Homme cast a shadow. That's how he put it. So, Josh, may I ask you who the most famous person is you've bumped into standing next to it, urinal?
I'm trying to think. You know, we were talking about the other night when John first joined the band, and we went to Berlin, and he'd been in the band about a week, and I happened to pee in the turnstile of the hotel in Berlin, and the guy was like, "You can't do that," and I said, "It's done, man, it's done." But I can't. I must have.
The obvious ones then, obviously, Mr. Grohl and Mark Ronson, possibly.
Well, I've peed on Dave, and he's peed on me. I feel like that's well known. And frankly, I quite like peeing next to Dave. It's one of the things I like the most, because it's got that backbeat, you know what I mean?
Oh, I got one, actually. I know. It was that we played Jules Holland, and Robert Plant played the show as well.
Yes.
And I mean, I have nothing. I didn't do any peeking, but there was peeing, and that's one.
Just to be in his presence.
Well, were you guys in the restroom or just like? If you were in catering, man, I got mad respect for that. I think perhaps went to dinner with my brother in this place in Soho, and Harry Shearer was in the bathroom, and we were peeing next to each other. When he was done and he was washing his hands, because it's never appropriate. I've had people try to reach out and shake my hand.
No.
And in all honesty, I just go, whoosh. So I'm talking to Harry Shearer, and I said, I'm a really big fan. And he said, actually, you're an average-sized fan, actually. And I thought that was quite nice.
That's good. On his toes. That's a brilliant one. Well, add that to the book. Thank you very much. Yeah. Gents. Appreciate that. Right, this is the latest single, Queens of the Stone Age, The Way You Used to Do. What tune is?
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm thrilled to say the Mercury Award-winning, chart-topping, anthemic festival juggernauts Elbow are closing the Victorious Festival in Portsmouth on Sunday night. And dare I say it, the veteran Guy Garvey is on the phone right now. I feel terrible saying that. Is it okay to call you a veteran, Guy?
Veteran's fine, absolutely. I've been called much worse, Gordon.
So, Guy, could you just set the scene for us? Where are you right now? Can you just paint the picture of what you're up to right now?
So I moved to London from my beloved Manchester about 5 months ago on account of having a son with my wife.
Yeah. Congratulations. So,
thank you very much. So, I've been up at a studio in Queen's Park, a little place called ID Audio, working on future Elbow songs this afternoon. And then I came back and me and Jack were just watching The West Wing. And in the last 3 days, he's been tackling rusks for the first time, which is hilarious.
Come on.
He sort of wets them all the way around.
How many of them have you had? Is it two for one that he eats? You have at least two.
It depends what the company is. If we're in the park surrounded by other families, then none. But yeah, two for one at home for sure.
Are you still sporting a beard at the moment? Because it's quite hard to conceal the rusk secret if you've got the beard.
Yeah. I'm well versed in keeping food out of my beard.
You mentioned it, Guy. I've got to ask you while you talk about it. How's that new material sounding? Can you give us a little flavour of it?
It's great. Craig's increasingly into his hip-hop over the past 10 years, I'd say. And it finds different ways of filtering into the music. It's not really obvious so far when anything we've released, but we like to challenge ourselves, and two or three of the beats that Craig's put my way are very, very hip-hop.
That sounds interesting. That sounds like a different change of direction. Definitely great.
Yeah, I mean, it won't end up sounding like hip-hop, because I'm not going to try rapping, you know?
That's a relief.
Or talking, as I call it.
Yeah, the old Captain Kirk, the spoken album. It's a wee while off yet. I heard you doing a great interview, Guy, with John Kennedy, where you talked about nearly burning a house down when you threw some whiskey in the fire. Have you been?
Oh God!
Have you been wrapping yourself in cotton wool in preparation for this big festival at the weekend, or do you just carry on as normal?
I have to say, since becoming a dad, it's chilled out a wee bit. If anything, then we enjoy a little bit more of a drink when we hit the road. But yeah, no, it tends to be different members of Oboe drink to different degrees before a show. I like a couple of glasses, and that's a conservative estimate, before I'm on stage. But Mark Potter won't have more than one bottle of beer. He's a consummate professional before he plays the guitar. Yeah,
it's a universally recognised measure of alcohol. The Guy Garvey couple of glasses.
Aye. Well, I mean, it's a national sport, isn't it? Everybody has a couple of glasses of wine, and everyone neglects to mention that your average wine glass is half a bottle size these days.
Right, Guy, are you going to stick around a little bit longer? I've got more questions I want to ask you.
Of course.
That's a relief. Right, this is Elbow, Grounds for Divorce on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the brilliant Grounds for Divorce by Elbow on Radio X. This is the Thursday night evening show with me, Gordon Smart, and Guy Garvey is still on the phone. During that song, he ate four rusks and his son had one.
That's right. Four rusks and half a glass of wine.
And that is that measure, isn't it? It's a real half a glass of wine, which is actually a pint. So you're closing Victorious this weekend. It's the Sunday night gig. And I've always wanted to ask you this, right? You've played all over the world. And I always tell the story about seeing Paul McCartney playing in Germany, and everybody went mental for Obladi Oblada and just wasn't interested in all the bigger hits. Do you find that the Elbow back catalogue is picked up differently around the country? Because you've played so many gigs. Do you notice a difference with the songs?
Yeah, certainly. I'd say maybe not around the country so much as around Europe. So we're quite successful in Holland and Belgium. I'd say at least as successful as we are in the UK. And yet we can't get arrested in France. but Lippy Kids is a much bigger song than One Day Like This in mainland Europe. Just on account of a Dutch... a breakfast DJ just picked up on it and played it a lot, so it's a much bigger hit.
Do you change the set at all because you know you're kind of the last act on?
It depends how far on you are in a tour or in a festival season, but you know you do swap it up. You kind of, apart from anything else, there's people that will come to every show in the summer, and even if there's only a handful of them, you want to make sure it's different for them. I mean, certain songs you wouldn't want to get away with not playing, you know. One Day Like This, for instance, I'd say is the only song that since it was written we haven't missed. And that's on account of it's so much of it is audience participation that it's more like a ritual that happens at Elbow gigs rather than just one of the songs.
Guy, you've played some magical gigs over your time and some phenomenal memories, I'd imagine, but we're not interested in that. Like, we want to know about, what's the worst gig you've ever played as at Elbow?
With One Day Like This, right? So we're in Australia, and very few memories of Australia, because by the time you catch up with what time it isn't, it's time to go home. And we were on stage, and I shouted something like, "Come on, Sydney, I want to hear you at the tops of your voices! Come on, everybody!" Like that. And then I realised we were half a song too soon, and instead of going into the big sing-along chorus, it went into the Craig couldn't sing or play for the rest of the set, and for about an hour and a half afterwards, if I looked at Craig, he just, his eyes were streaming with tears, and if I looked at him, he'd just say, "Please say you'll do that again."
That is brilliant, Guy. Well, listen, I hope it hasn't been a bad omen for the show this weekend. It'll be absolutely brilliant, I'm sure. We're going to be down there actually doing the show on Sunday afternoon, so hopefully we'll see you for a half measure.
That sounds great. I'll drop by with a quarter of a bottle of wine.
That'd be lovely, and a couple of rusks. A couple of rusks. All the best, Guy. Wrap yourself in cotton wool. No whiskey in the fire over the weekend. Have a brilliant time, and we'll see you down there Sunday.
Cheers, Gordon.
Radio. Great stuff, Chief.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So this weekend, while I'm down in Portsmouth for Victorious, I'll be trying to find somewhere to watch the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather pantomime. There's some hype around the scrap. Even the Killers are getting in on the action. Get on this. I always had them down as a little bit gentle, but the band have appeared in a special promo video performing their single The Man in a boxing ring plonked in the Nevada desert while Mayweather and McGregor prepare for battle. Frontman Brandon explained why they got involved. He said, "I think there's a symbiotic relationship between using a song like ours and Las Vegas and a boxing arena. Business of boxing, it seemed to make sense. The new Killers album, Wonderful Wonderful, includes a song called Tyson vs. Douglas about Buster Douglas knocking Mike Tyson out back in 1990. It was a massive moment. And Brandon added, I realised everything was different after that fight. It sounds like a big statement to make, but it really had a profound effect on me. Somebody told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend. Sounds like the kind of thing Conor McGregor will be whispering into Floyd Mayweather's ear. Right, here they are, the Killers. Somebody told me on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You're listening to the Thursday Night Evening Show here on Radio X in Queens of the Stone Age. With us, Josh Homme and Mikey the Shoes. Gentlemen, Dave Grohl's mum was a guest recently, and she said we have to refer to him as David Grohl from now on. And she gave a beautiful interview about what it's like for a mum to watch her children become rock and roll stars, superstars. What do you think it's like for your parents seeing you go off and have 20 years right at the forefront of rock and roll?
She actually interviewed my mom for the book. Yeah. I don't think it made it in there. I always love watching her call Dave David, and because it's sweet, you know. Do you have any kids, man?
Yeah, two.
Right, so you already know if they, the life is about taking chances, and if you risk nothing, you get absolutely nothing. Yeah. And so there's the desire to, the necessity to take a risk in order to have a good life, now to watch someone that you love more than they understand take a risk like that, would be scary. It's always scary. I'm a father of three, you know. So, and I would say my mom has probably been very scared many times, which I apologize for on national radio.
Yeah.
So I like to say, hey, Ma, sorry about that. And the other stuff, too.
So here's a man that means an awful lot to Josh Homme. This is Iggy Pop. More Queens of the Stone Age coming up in just a minute.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Just before you go, gentlemen, I've got to ask you, Josh, about Iggy Pop and also a bit about Mark Ronson. But Iggy first, you know, you wrote there's something beautiful in an interview you did this week where you described standing on the edge of the world and looking over. Would you mind just telling us what that was like in the context of that? It was beautiful.
Oh, well, my old man was asking me, he said, Joshua, what is Iggy Pop? What does it mean? And he knows who he is, but, and I just said, you know, like, I've spent my life with my toes over the edge and my feet on the land, you know, and it's a precarious spot. And I said many people try to do this, and as you stand on the edge, the view is incredible. It's worth every bit of risk, but many people fall, and many people are afraid to get to the edge, and they don't understand that all they do is tell you to back away, and. But one person will stand on the edge their whole life and never fall. And they won't back off either. Mm. And that's Iggy.
Yeah. A beautiful description of the man.
Yeah, I think it's fairly accurate. I but I don't know. We'll have to ask the censor if that's right.
And in terms of Mark Ronson, where is he in terms of the edge of the world? he's quite but far back out.
No.
He likes a night out, Ronson, doesn't he? He's a great character.
Absolutely.
He
sure he's wonderful. Oh,
yeah. Brilliant man.
Yeah, I think Ronson is much cerebral. I'm not saying more or less, that there are two different worlds and comparison is useless in that moment. But I think of Ronson as a very cerebral, thoughtful, great communicator, and someone who wants to be part of something and put it all out there on something, and who has this wide palette of tastes, which is really how it should be, I reckon. You know,
can you work with him again?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It was a wonderful experience, and I like how I just like, maybe it's that chip on my shoulder, or maybe it's wanting people to have an open mind and constantly feeling that if you don't poke and prod and make excitement out of the mystery and surprise of getting to be a musician for a job, that we'll all somehow get lazy, you know? I think it's a way to stay sharp, is to surprise people. Because I think anyone that would say, oh, it's Mark Ronson, oh no, it's going to be this, I want them to go or prove them wrong. Or yeah. It's all part of the excitement of being open-minded and reserving the right to be surprised by life. You know?
Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to see you. The new song is a belter. The album's great. Villains is a good title. Great artwork. Ronson's great. Everything's good.
Thank
it's
you,
a pleasure
man.
To have
appreciate
you in, boys.
It. Appreciate
all the best, and we'll catch you later on.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm about to play our record of the week from the Amazons here on Radio X, and it just so happens I heard a brilliant story about them today involving a bit of sibling scrapping. Now, the Gallagher brothers were never afraid of knocking lumps out of each other. Producer Vin, he's got a brother, and for about 30 years I thought I'd made my brother infertile after booting him in the plums during a fight over a computer game in 1989. So brothers like to scrap, but I think the Amazons have topped any of those stories. I heard this today about Elliot, who's in the band, right? And I heard that he'd had a scrap with his brother, and it turns out that when he was 12, he shot his brother in the face with a bow and arrow. I shouldn't laugh. And he nearly killed him. He lost a tooth, but seriously, could have died in that accident. And I just suddenly thought, the Amazons, there's a bit more to them than meets the eye, to choose my words unwisely. Anyway, this is our record of the week here at Radio X. Finally, they survived and they managed to make some great music. Here they are. This is Ultraviolet, our record of the week on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right, if you haven't seen the most unlikely collaboration in music ever this week, allow me to fill you in. 80s crooner Rick Astley joined Foo Fighters on stage in Japan at the weekend. They covered Rick's 1987 hit, Never Gonna Give You Up, and he changed his vocabulary to suit the company and the occasion. That's me trying to say he swore a lot. Here's a little taste of what happened on stage. Not kidding, that is Rick Astley and Foo Fighters on stage in Japan. I think I'm having that. I like the way that Rick hasn't changed his delivery of the way he sang that at all. Good on everyone involved, and I think we all know now what Dave Grohl's secret shower song really is.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night, me and producer Vin like to delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. It's quite self-indulgent, this, because it's all about bands and albums that we've loved over the years. In the past few weeks and months, we've done Coldplay and Parachutes, Pulp and Different Class, U2 and the Joshua Tree, the Stone Roses, and many, many more. Tonight, though, it's the Charlatans and Telling Stories. We thought it was appropriate because it's 20 years old. It came out on the 21st of April, 1997, and it reminded me of saving up for it, right? I was working in a restaurant hotel called the Gart Winds and getting £2 an hour. And it took me 8 hours to save up enough for it, because I've still got the CD and it's got a sticker on the front. $15.99. It's amazing to think that's how much you used to pay for CDs.
And it's only 50 minutes long as well. So 8 hours work for 50 minutes worth of music.
No wonder they're all living in castles. Hard work. Anyway, going back, it was the number one album at the time, recorded at Mono Valley Studios and Rockfield Studios in Monmouth. And it solidified the Charlatans' place as Britpop champions at the time. Synths and grooves, guitars taking a less central place, all about the Hammond organ. Lots of influences there. The Stone Roses, Primal Scream, and it did set the Charlatans apart, then, didn't it? It was quite a baggy sound.
Yeah, you have that sort of Charlatan sound that I think people sort of associate with them. Yeah, baggy syncopation, sort of these swirling, repetitive, groovy rhythms. But listening back to this record in particular, loads of Primal Scream in there, isn't it? All those sort of chugging guitar lines, like sort of, you know, it's like you get a sense of energy like a train that just keeps going and going.
Yeah. It's quite rare. There is rhythmic stuff to it, isn't there? Tim Burgess as well, when you look, it's amazing how fresh-faced he looks on that album cover, because he looks a wee bit more like a scarecrow now, doesn't he? He was a proper indie hero back then. It's the band's most commercially successful record to date, some top 10 singles in there, and it was released on Beggar's Banquet. It was produced by a real character as well, Dave Charles, who worked with Kid Creole, Dr. Feelgood, Judas Priest and Hawkwind. What about that for a back catalogue of bands to work with? And all the songs in it as well. Look at this for a list: North Country Boy, One to Another, How High, tunes like Telling Stories, With No Shoes and You're a Big Girl Now. And you've got, I can't mention this album without mentioning the tragedy that happened at the time as well. Rob Collins, who played mellotron, organ, piano and keyboards in the album, he co-founded the band as well, but he died in a car accident halfway through the recording process, and I remember finding that incredibly sad. My connection to the world was Select magazine and NME when I was growing up, and I remember reading about that just feeling incredibly sad for them, because they were, you know, just getting to that point of playing at Nebworth with Oasis, and then to have a tragedy like that, it really knocked the stuffing out of the band. And actually, Martin Blunt, the bassist, said they're pretty much made the decision that they might not carry on at that point, but thankfully they did, and what a career they had afterwards. Right, two songs for you back to back from that brilliant album, Telling Stories from 1997. I've got a bit of North Country Boy followed by One to Another. Enjoy this.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
X.
Radio. X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Classic Album of the Week.
I absolutely loved that. Two songs back to back on classic albums from Telling Stories, North Country Boy and One to Another. Enjoyed every second. It reminds me of passing my driving test in 1997 and going off around in my car with that on very loud indeed. Gary Armstrong got in touch and said, I've got to say it's only two songs from being their best album. I think you're probably about right there, Gary. I wouldn't disagree. Thanks very much for sending that message in. So, One to Another, that was the first single from the album and the first Charlatans material released after Rob Collins' death. And just talking about driving around, it definitely played a part in me being sensible in a car, and certainly people from my generation thinking about not being daft. It featured drum loops, I didn't know this before tonight, provided by Tom Rowlands from the Chemical Brothers, and it got to number three in the UK charts and remains the band's highest charting single. North Country Boy as well before that. That's a great song, isn't it? Me and Vin were thoroughly enjoying that. In 2013, a documentary covering the making of the record was released called Mountain Picnic Blues, after the lyrics in the track With No Shoes. The lyrics, just let's pull them out there, they are excellent. I'm gonna burn you. I'll be your spider woman, you could be my Spider-Man. Great lines to shout at gigs. That was Classic Albums tonight from the Charlatans, Telling Stories. I'll be doing another one next week. Send us your suggestions, 83936 and at Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A few weeks ago, I had Irvin Welsh in the studio before he headed back to his old stomping ground for the Edinburgh Festival. While he's been up there, he's given an interview about his favourite albums. And he knows his music, Irvin. Anyone who's read his book, or any of his books, will know that music inspires so much of what he writes. So he chose these belters, right? Great little list. Station to Station, David Bowie from 1976. Brick by Brick, Iggy Pop from 1990. Rock and Roll Animal, Lou Reed, 1974. Country Life, Roxy Music in 74. And Loss by Mull Historical Society, which was a bit of a surprise. But there's a lovely little story of it. Radio X tweeted the list earlier, and Mull Historical Society got in touch with Irvin off the back of it, and they're now in contact through the seldom positive world of social media. A rare happy story from Twitter there. Anyway, there was one more album that Irvin did mention on that list. He also picked What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis, and said, you played it and felt yourself being pinned to the ceiling with every song. Brilliant way of describing it. He's absolutely spot on. Here's another story Irvin had to tell about running around causing havoc with Noel.
I remember at the Hotel du Cap, which is quite a prestigious,
very kind
of very, very posh hotel, that we were standing in opposite ends of the corridor and we're taking these fire hoses, these very high velocity fire hoses, and we're shooting them at each other. And I remember getting this jet of water in the face, kind of physically pushing me back, like, you know, and it kind of concentrated the mind, because you just aim for Noel's eyebrows, basically. You can't really miss it. You've got to get them right in the head.
It's a target. Like, you know. Sir Irvin Welsh talking about another naughty night out with Noel Gallagher.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, over the years in newspapers, I reported on an awful lot of bitching between bands. And here I am at Radio X witnessing handbags once again. Placebo have accused Kings of Leon of being cardboard cutouts during their live shows. The ever gobby Brian Molko said, some bands walk on and they phone it in and just get it done. Have you ever seen the F in Kings of Leon? Jesus, you might as well be watching cardboard cutouts on a stage and play the record. But we're up there and we give up, bleep. And this connection with the audience feeds our souls. We're always putting everything we have into the live shows. No complacency. Complacency is forbidden in Placebo world. There you are. I wonder what else is forbidden in Placebo world. I'm sure if he was locked in a room with Nathan Followell for 5 minutes, Mr. Molko would be flattened like a cardboard cutout. The Followell clan are well known, right enough, for banjoing each other with guitars when the mood takes them. Ah well, all is fair in love and discos. Music would be dull without characters like Brian Molko, and here he is. This is Placebo, Every You, Every Me on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
And in a beautiful flowery shirt, resplendent in rock and roll. Felix White's walked in at the studio for the last time tonight. But Felix, you're looking well.
Thank you, mate. I'm glad you picked up on the shirt.
Yeah, it's a cracker. It's a cracker.
Cheers, mate.
I couldn't get away with that, sadly. I'd like to, but I couldn't.
Well, I'd like to see it happen, maybe this weekend, Victoria's.
Can I have your shirt, Felix?
Yeah, we can swap.
Now, you've got an amazing recommendation for us tonight, and I know you've been raving about Everything Everything. You had them on the show. Tell us about this song and a little bit about them.
This band, Everything Everything, have made a ridiculous record, Gordon. Yeah. I've been a huge fan of this band for a long time. Yeah. Get to Heaven. I haven't loved a record more than that since that last came out. And this is a very cohesive effort comparatively for this band. Yeah. Especially this song, Put Me Together, which is different territory for them. And the first time I heard this, man, I couldn't even move for about 45 minutes, man. It moved me so much. And I sent it to a few friends and everyone was like, I'm in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can be a divisive group, but this is, as I can't even tell you how beautiful this record is.
They're interesting characters, aren't they? That's a beautiful description of it. And also sartorially quite an interesting band as well. Odd clothes.
Well, yeah. Well, if we want to talk about the clothes, like, they do always dress odd. Yeah. But I bought an outfit. I told them this when they came on the show on Monday. Yeah. I bought an outfit on Monday, right, for our last gigs. And I was feeling pretty good about myself until I looked at a press release of Everything Everything's New Thing, which is exactly the same clothes. So accidentally, I was inadvertently walking around in their gear for a week.
You're a proper fan, right? This is Everything Everything. Put Me Together.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Well, I felt perfect, Felix, for your last recommendation on the evening show. You chose a belter, Everything Everything, Put Me Together. That's a lovely song, isn't it?
Suitably moving, isn't it, for my last show on Exposure.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a great couple of weeks, Felix. I'm going to miss you when you're not here.
Oh, mate, I'm going to have Gordon Smart withdrawal.
Listen, I'll pop round to your gaff and pick him any time.
You're very welcome, mate.
I reckon 2 days before you don't want me back. So what have you on the show tonight, your last one?
Well, John Kennedy's back on Monday.
Yeah.
And before he is, I'm going to hand over him to the second half of the show, and he's going to have a full album playback with Queens of Stone Age Villains. I know Josh was in yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's on tonight. Yeah.
Oh, he's on tonight. So there'll be more chat of that. And Blank's going to be in live because it was such a success with Jack Jones 2 days ago. We're going to be replaying some of that session as well.
That's a great way to bow out. Felix, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in.
Mate.
And thanks even more for bringing your guitar as well.
Oh, yeah, pleasure, man. I got a bit of stick for not being able to play, what was it, Stairway to Heaven?
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you.
I'll have learnt that by next time.
Oh, well, you've got Wonderwall up your sleeve, so everything's good.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. If you enjoyed that, please leave a review and tell all your friends. There'll be another edition coming out next week.
Radio X.